You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Finally staying over and he's cuddling us.
Oh, don't be so gushy or ruin the spooning.
Shush, you're embarrassing me.
I can't help it. I'm not even hungry.
Why are you making so much noise then?
Oh my God.
I told you it wasn't me.
No, be quiet. He's going to hear you.
I think you're going to have to let her out.
His genitals are dangerously close to us. He's going to feel it escape.
Ew, don't say genitals. Please, just let her go.
What if we move onto our back, let it out slowly, and then trap it under the duvet?
Oh my God, we can't Dutch oven him. We're not even official yet.
Maybe it won't smell.
Believe me, it will.
I'm filling with air. You've got to let her out.
It sounds like we're internally farting.
Oh, why is this happening? Why can't you all just behave?
I'm so sorry. I'm too weak.
Room for one more?
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Friday, April 29th. This is The Drop, and we got the whole band back together. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, back from Sin City, it's Tass Mellis.
Great to be back with you cool guys.
Hey, Tassie, we got our Top Shot Hot Boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o.
Hey-yo. The international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
Finally, man, making the magic happen, picking those beauty cold open, super producer JD.
Hello, I'm not on camera yet because I have it, but hello.
Hi.
Hi, hey. How's it going?
Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Subscribe, like, comment, and share the show. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. You got to tee us up for next week. We're stepping on the beach. I guarantee it, okay?
Yes.
Lock it in.
Yes.
And if you're looking for some content, maybe for over the weekend, because there's not a lot of basketball on, go check out yesterday's new No Buffs Survivor Recap Pod, posted over on the No Buffs YouTube feed and in the No Buffs podcast feed, either on Apple or Spotify, an emotional episode 9, which we broke down. So go check that out. Had a lot of fun talking to TK and JD about that episode. But we got a bunch of games from last night to discuss, and then a bunch of series in the second round to look forward to, break down, talk about key storylines and X factors, and make some predictions. But Lili, we start with the perfect game. Chris Paul leading the Suns past the Pelicans in Game 6. 14 for 14 from the floor and 4 for 4 from the free throw line. The perfect game.
Yeah, and 1 for 1 from downtown. And added to that, DeAndre Ayton was basically perfect himself. 10 for 12 here. But Chris Paul, what an incredible performance. Wasn't officially a closeout game as far as if they lost, they would have gone on to Game 7. But he did not want to go home and play a Game 7. And the shots he were making, these weren't layups or uncontested shots. There was defenders in his face most of the time. He was just getting to his spot, that sort of zigzag move where he likes to get 10, 15 feet away and throw it up, and it went in, and it was just incredible. But despite all that, despite the 14 for 14 and the 10 for 12 from DeAndre Ayton, Mikal Bridges went 7 for 12 as well from the field. With a minute 40 to go, the Pelicans were leading this game.
Mm-hmm.
They still had a chance to pull this off, despite the fact that CJ McCollum, who was good in the first half, was in foul trouble. But then Mikal Bridges rips the ball out of his hands and dunked it, and oh, that just felt like the air was let out of the balloon, because CJ's been great, but it was pretty easy how Bridges just stripped him of the ball down there.
Yeah, a little trap there from give me that.
And it just felt in that moment that was when the game was over. Even though it wasn't officially, it just felt like that. And Chris Paul had another basket after that. I think Booker hit one too after that as well. And the Suns just did enough to say to the little brother, guys, great fight, valiant effort, but we're moving on here. And you guys, I've got so much respect here for what the Pelicans have done this season and how they competed in this series. And I think you could feel the emotion after the game between Chris Paul and Monty Williams, between Chris Paul and Willie Green, between Willie Green and Monty Williams as well. There was a lot of love and a lot of history with all of those guys and those players and former teammates and now coaching and all that. But in the end, the Suns get away with it. They win this series. They move on now. Booker played, which is good. He looked okay. I thought he looked pretty much, he didn't seem too bothered. He didn't
played over 30 minutes.
Yeah, he didn't have a super game as far as scoring the ball. Only had 13 points, but I think it was more about let's get him through this game and then move on to the next round. Yep. So overall, the Suns probably took longer than they were expecting to get rid of the Pelicans, but that, I think, is so much down to the fact the Pelicans fought this entire series, and you saw it last night right up until the end. They had a chance to extend it, but they couldn't. But great job by everybody.
Yeah, pretty amazing, though. Chris Paul, what is he, 85 years old? Going 14 for 14, and like Lee said, I mean, this was all jumpers. These are not layups. These are not fast break, got an easy one here. This is with guys draped all over him, him finding a spot and hitting it. He had a couple. I mean, he just had it going last night. I think like two of his four that bounced in were down the stretch. Mm. Like, he got that crazy one that went way up in the air, hit a bunch of rim and bounced around, had the other Duncan-like one in front of the rim, and then kissed it in. But that's spectacular. Like, this has never been done before in an NBA playoff game, let alone from a guy that's like one of the shortest guys out there.
He was feeling it so much, that bucket with like 4:30 left, he wiped the sweat off his hands on the shorts while he had the ball. Just took his time. I'm going to need this hand. Wiped it off, dried it off, and then banged home a shot. There's something about clinching on the road in the playoffs. It's just such high drama. It was amazing. Yeah, all the relationships that Lee went through, the Willie Green moment. I don't know if it's just because I lost money in Vegas, but that made me want to cry. No, I'm sure everybody in that building, everybody on the Suns organization loved Willie. I mean, so many tears after the game. And the way it lasted 46 and a half minutes until Herbert Jones, that everyone was praising, just kind of lost Devin Booker for half a second because everyone was expecting Chris Paul to go off. Devin Booker hadn't hit a three. Herbert, looking at Chris Paul, took his eye off Devin Booker. Bang, big shot, and then they go the other way, and that was when the rip happened on CJ McCollum. Game over, two plays. Good night, came down to two teeny, teeny plays, and the Suns, it was a wild, because you look at the shot chart, I know you tweeted it, Skeets, and then you look at what the Suns did. They took eight fewer shots than the Pels, and were still able to win this game because they shot 60%. They hit 6 out of 10 shots and didn't hit a ton of threes. That was a clinical finish, and especially with Devin Booker, it was pretty quiet. Everybody else, so efficient. It was. On the road, you got to be that great, and the Pels had an incredible season.
What do you think, Trey?
This was just cool. I felt like Chris Paul's 14th make was maybe the closest to missing. I was like, no, don't roll out. Obviously, it dropped in, and the Suns take the win. Only 8 threes for the Suns, only 8 threes for the Pelicans. This was like a 1990s basketball game. Getting into the mid-range, and like you mentioned, Lee, 10 for 12 from DeAndre Ayton. I'm surprised to see that only 4 of his baskets came on assists from Chris Paul. I would have guessed exactly 10. But if you're getting, 24 for 26 from your two leading scorers, that's tough to beat if you're the Pelicans. But, man, they tried hard. They grinded. They did the best they possibly could. They had 3 rookies out there making incredible plays down the stretch. This was really fun to watch, and, it just shows you the level that the Suns are at, that the Pelicans were playing as well as they were. They were getting contributions from everybody. They just couldn't handle Chris Paul because Chris Paul is awesome.
Yeah, and again, I think the Pelicans have done the Suns a favor here in putting up a fight in the first round. We'll see how that folds out here, or at least unfolds, as they take on the Mavericks, and we'll get to that series in a second. But Chris Paul, I have the stats here from an account that changed their name to Paul Don't Lie. Chris Paul finished the series against Pelicans shooting 70% between 5 and 9 feet, 59% from 10 to 14, and then 68% from 15 to 19. Those are really insane numbers. That's a series.
Yeah, and I haven't got the numbers, but I know he had less than 10 turnovers, I think, for the entire series as well.
Yeah.
So his taking care of the ball was incredible, and then cashing in from everywhere he had it was incredible.
And also, add to that, these are against guys like young guys in Alvarado, who's made himself a name for being a pesky defender. Herb Jones sometimes getting switched on. Like, that's the other crazy part about who he was doing it against. Just special stuff from Chris Paul. And again, pretty wild that we got something we've never seen before. I know Nene went 12 for 12 in a playoff game once, but Nene Hilario.
Wow.
The old Rockets Thunder game.
Yeah, I mean, they must have been 11 dunks then.
Probably. I didn't check the tape, but I don't think they were jumpers from around the free throw line for Nene in that game. Anything else to add to the Suns Pelicans? What about the Pelicans moving forward here? Let's talk about that a little bit. Trey said it, all the rookies, you know, Jose, Herb, Trey Murphy in a big three in this one. And then you've got your star in Ingram, who played really incredibly well throughout this entire postseason. McCollum, you know, got slowed a bit here in this series, I think a big part because of Bridges' defense. But then you add Zion to this, and you got a great coach in Willie Green. Like, what's the potential for this team even next year?
Well, it really depends on Zion, I think, and what's going on there, because it still seems like there's a little bit of weirdness going on between him and the organization. That sort of has been the whole story this season. We didn't even know about the injury. Then he was maybe coming back, and then he didn't, and then he was training somewhere else, and then he had a disagreement as to when he was going to come back, and then he's throwing down 360s and between the leg dunks. So he looks great. I mean, if you add a guy who can get 27 and 8 a game, shooting, what, 60% to that core, I mean, honestly, they should be absolutely in the playoffs and hunting for a top four spot. Now, it never always comes together so quickly, but there's no question that Willie Green is loved in that locker room. Those guys all play for him. Valanciunas, I think, played a fantastic role this season. And Brandon Ingram, he's been an all-star before. He showed that in the sort of late stage of this season and in this series as well. And then I think CJ's a very nice vet to have on that team. I think he's a really good fit there. So, and then you mentioned Herb Jones. I mean, Reggie was already talking about All-NBA second team, I think, last night for him. I'm not sure if he's going to get it. But
defense.
Oh, sorry, yeah. And then you've got Murphy's good. He can shoot the three. Jose Alvarado, I'm not sure what Jose Alvarado is. Sure. This series, he was perfect. He was the pest for the granddaddy of the pest. In fact, a great moment last night where Chris Paul stopped and got the offensive foul, I guess, when Alvarado ran into him and then fell all over the place. And, oh, the delicious irony of Chris Paul.
Where'd you learn that from?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they've got a really, really bright future, considering, again, we mentioned a lot, the season started off the complete opposite. It was like, what? This franchise might not win 15 games. Now they should be hunting the playoffs for sure.
It's just even nice to see these home games there in the blender and the crowd going absolutely bonkers. Like, when they started 1-12, there were a bunch of whispers like, they're not going to be in New Orleans all that much longer.
Wasn't it $100 courtside seats?
Something like
that. StubHub or something like that. Yeah.
And man, has that changed in a hurry. And like, there's a buzz to this team. And yeah, what do you think about throwing? If you throw a healthy Zion into the mix here, it's a hell of a lot of talent.
The New Orleans Pelicans have gone for it with the CJ McCollum trade. The rookies have worked out. The coaching obviously has worked out. Just shows you need talent. Monty Williams used to be there. This seems like sort of an inexpensive move by David Griffin, but Willie Green just needed some talent. All coaches need talent. They got it. Yes, of course, extremely bright. A wild 36-win team versus a 64-win team. We saw a six-game series that was, one for the ages. If you watched every minute, it was really, really, really fun.
Yeah.
And the Pels deserve all the credit, everyone in that locker room. And hopefully Zion comes back, because it is still a huge question mark. It's not a lock. You see him throwing down dunks in these cool little videos, a 10-second video, but is he coming back? When's he coming back? Otherwise, this got to be very, very, very excited for this team.
I think Pelicans are going to need a passer. They're going to need somebody who really sets the table when Zion comes back, because McCollum wants the ball, Brandon Ingram wants the ball, and Zion wants the ball, and they probably all should get it. Not to mention Jonas Valanciunas in there mashing inside. So I think they're going to have some sort of a table setter, but the talent looks great. I think it'll be a little tricky to fit all those guys together once Zion comes back, because they, at their best, all three of their stars right now are ball handlers who are at their best. Making plays mostly for themselves, sometimes for others. So we'll see exactly what they look like when they are on the court together. But the idea of this team looks great. They're pretty young, but they've got some decent veteran pieces as well in McCollum and Valanciunas. And they just seem to have a lot of balance, which is why they were able to give the Suns so much trouble in this series.
The other game in the Western Conference playoffs last night, Luka Doncic and the Mavs beat the Jazz to advance to the second round. First time Luka's doing that. First time in a long time the Mavericks are going to the second round since they won their title, which is just a weird, weird thing. 2011, they haven't been in the second round. Obviously have had some good teams. But this one, down to the wire, TK, where do you want to start?
This was a pretty fun game of basketball here. Looked like we were going to game 7, baby! Through the first half, the crowd was lit, the ball was moving, and the Jazz were having better luck from three, which is something that they've needed in this playoff series. They were only 5-for-17, not great shooting, but the Mavericks were only 3-for-18, but that all changed, really, in the third quarter. The Mavs went to their small ball lineup, and surprise, surprise, the Jazz didn't have an answer. Once again, 36-19 in the third quarter for Dallas. They hit 8 threes. Yeah. That's a lot of threes for a single quarter. Just so much space out there. There was a great highlight of Rudy Gobert getting ISO'd on Jalen Brunson, and he was just a crossover machine. I mean, kudos to Rudy. He made him work, but ended up being a jumper in the face from the Brunson burner, which is just a great nerdy nickname.
Yeah.
Like, you had to be in a science lab to know what a Brunson burner is, but it seems like everybody knows.
Yeah.
It's fun to say.
It is. Yeah. It is really fun to say. And honestly, Brunson burners are pretty fun to play with, too.
Yeah.
But shout out to the Jazz. They didn't go away. They battled back in the fourth quarter. I thought they did a good job of basically saying, Luka, you're not beating us right now. So they would throw a double team at him. They made it a point to get into the lane, to get to the free throw line. They even got two assists from Donovan Mitchell to Rudy Gobert inside. Unfortunately, though, for the Jazz, they went 1 of 10 from 3 in the fourth quarter, including a wide-open, game-winning, buzzer-beating miss from Bojan Bogdanović after a pump fake. Pretty nice play from Quinn Snyder to get him a look.
You can't get a better
look. It was wide open, man. Just a little bit deep. Doink! Mavs win. First playoff series win since 2011, like you're saying. Also, Rudy Gobert got stung in the face by his own bees. That's just a funny little note in there. Stung in the face by bees.
He's got his own beehive.
Does anyone remember how their season ended in the bubble?
The Utah Jazz?
Yeah.
The Jamal Murray.
Yeah, Mike series. Conley.
So this was like 50-point battles here?
The last play, Mike Conley had a 3-pointer.
Oh, yes.
It basically went
that
down.
That one went in and out. Yeah.
And they were down 2 in that one and obviously lost that. So
good call.
2 seasons in a well, I guess 2 out of last 3 seasons, it's ended on a buzzer-beating 3 that should have. Now, Conley's was a bit more of a fling. It was in transition.
Yeah.
But Bogdanović, what an incredible play there by Snyder. I mean, he's got perfect. And Bogdanović kind of didn't get that close, to be honest.
No. But he took his time.
Yeah,
he
did.
Let the defender fly by him, set his feet a little bit more.
But this was lost in the third quarter, as Trey mentioned. Yeah. Watching back this morning at those threes, they're just wide open too. Far too many of them are wide open. There's guys sort of closing out, but in the NBA, a closeout is not guy just running at you. You've got to be there before he gets into that shot, because they get them off so quickly. And the Mavs just felt it, and you could feel they were like, we've got the momentum here. We're gonna overrun this team. They can't really, they don't have that same sort of ability to do that to us. And then Luka did the same thing to Rudy that he did in game 4 there, where he just danced him, step back 3. Oh my god, like, poor Rudy. Like, that was good defense. He was right there. Luka's just going further and further back. He's leaning back, but it was so clean. So incredible series win still for the Mavericks, I think, to do this. I thought Utah, honestly, apart from that one game where Rudy got the dunk at the end, I know that one game too, the Mavericks waxed them in this series for the most part, I think.
What do you think, Ty?
Well, it's nice that a series ended on a play that, in like basketball terms, was like an eternity of watching Bojan get open and just watching this shot and having the chance to go. And obviously it was off. But it also hurt just seconds earlier. Mike Conley traveled when they're up 1 and Mike Conley coming down after a Luka miss, and they couldn't do anything. Mitchell gave it to Conley. Conley got into the lane and just kind of got stalled up, just didn't know where to go, and traveled.
Were you surprised they called that, too, in all honesty? You see that where they sometimes let it go, an official will. I'm not saying it wasn't.
Yeah.
Appeared to be some dragging, of course, of the foot planted there, but you see it a lot. And they're, all right, here we go, let it play out. But nope. I mean, I thought the Mavs bench did a good job calling it. they're all over. It's right there. It's a travel. It's like, damn, I guess it was. But Conley, he was garbage in this series. He averaged under 10 points per game.
Yeah,
bad season. I mean, he sort of got embarrassed in this series, I thought. Like, I showed his age. I mean, it's brutal.
Yeah, he could stand there and still bang home shots. I think he still shot 40% from 3 over the course of the season. But he looked older in this series. Yeah, listen, the Jazz had to figure out, you know, it shouldn't be on Conley, shouldn't have come down to that last play. The Jazz should be able to cover open shooters. They just wanted Rudy to stick by the rim. We had our man John Schumann, even just puzzled. Why doesn't the guy who's next to the open shooter come and defend the open shooter? I think that's a fair question.
Yeah, weird rotations defensively.
It was odd to see. That's where they should have solved it. And, another clincher on the road just from a person who had no, you know, pony in this race. Awesome to watch. It came down to that last shot. Unfortunate. But, the Jazz kind of did it to themselves in this series. So the future, way up in the air for up and down the roster, coaching staff, front office, what the heck is going to happen with this team? Because there's got to be changes.
Well, what's the move? What does Danny Ainge do here? Trey, you're Danny. All right? Congratulations. Like, I mean, I guess, like,
I would never be.
Really, the question is...
That's an insult to me to call me Danny Ainge.
Are you... Sorry about that. Are you...
You're a multi-sport guy.
Thank you.
Really blowing this up? Are you really, truly just detonating? And what I mean by that is, like... down to its to the cement floor here, and like that
trade everyone no team
honestly like a real rebuild, or is it pick one of the two of your star players, your all-stars in Donovan and Rudy, and then if that's the case, which one? Like, where do you go with this team?
It seems to be Donovan Mitchell would be the choice to keep around if you're the Jazz, according to Tony Jones at The Athletic. Subscribe at theathletic.com/nodunks. That's the plan, is to build around Donovan Mitchell. I think he needs to officially be the point guard. I think there's no way you can possibly... I don't think Conley should be back. I don't think you can run... a lineup out there with Donovan Mitchell playing the two, because the guy is a traffic cone on defense, and that has been a huge problem for the Jazz. You move him to the point guard, you put some decent defensive wings around him, maybe you look a little bit better on the perimeter there. The Gobert question is, it's interesting. He's on a massive contract, but he's still really good at what he does.
Yeah.
Also, he gets exposed in the playoffs quite a bit just because... you know, the way the Jazz play defense, it's going to lead to wide open threes, and a lot of teams want to generate those three-pointers. Maybe another team defends differently with Rudy Gobert and doesn't just necessarily get eviscerated in small ball lineups anymore. So they got a lot of questions to answer. I think other teams would be most interested in acquiring Donovan Mitchell. He seems to be the guy that every team would want. Like, if you're the Knicks, you want Donovan Mitchell more than you want Rudy Gobert, no doubt about it, but... that also means the Jazz want it. So they got a lot of questions to answer. Obviously, Quinn Snyder's a big question as well. He seems more like a most likely to leave, but I don't know. Rudy wants to retire a Jazz. That's what everybody says, though. So I think a lot of things will change with this Jazz team. I think they'll probably try and build around Donovan Mitchell, but maybe there are tough options here.
Yeah, and Mitchell's got to be better in his leadership, because defensively he was terrible, I thought, as well. Just sloppy on the perimeter there. And even on offense.
He had a bad series. He shot under 40%. He couldn't hit a three to save his life.
Yeah.
He still gets his 25-26. He's good for that.
But it's kind of empty, though, isn't it? Like, it's a bit more like he's just going to get his.
And, it definitely hurts when you get your team 25, but you probably gave up a good 25.
Oh, exactly, yeah. So, you know, there's no doubt for me that the offensive talent that he's got is probably the one you do want to keep over Rudy. But the good news for the Jazz is, if they decide to move on from one of these, that they should get a really good package in return, because a ton of teams will take Rudy Gobert. His reputation might be a little bit up and down, but so many teams would love to have a guy who you know can rebound and defend and block shots and do all those things. And Rudy's a fairly good teammate by all aspects, as far as he understands he doesn't get a ton of opportunities on the offensive end, but he always puts in when he can on the defensive end. So I'm not suggesting a trade here, but I'm saying someone like Brooklyn, for example, who'd have a very shallow... internal defense.
Yeah.
They would love to have Rudy Gobert back there. You know,
be a lot of teams.
Yeah. So, you know, the Charlotte Hornets, but then they don't really have all that enticing stuff for the Jazz to take back. So,
Gordon Hayward back to Utah, baby.
I mean, from the contractual.
Is his barber still there?
Probably.
Contractually, yes, something like that.
Inflation, but it's probably more than $30.
But the Jazz, so if they do field offers, they should get a healthy offer for either or both if they decide to. To me, Snyder's had a fairly long run. He'll get a coaching job somewhere else. I think people like that. But I think you just need a new voice now if you're going to go in a different direction, because otherwise, it's three seasons in a row now that Jazz just honestly flamed out in the playoffs.
Yeah. And especially with Luka missing the first part of this series. Yeah. I mean, the opening was there, but they got Brunson Bernard. there's just no way, though, that this core is back next season, right? Like, you're betting against that being the case. Like, this Danny Ainge, too, makes moves. He's like, he ain't afraid to, like...
But is he...
Make some,
so
he's part of the, obviously, the decision-making tree there.
Zanuck, isn't it?
Justin Zanuck is their GM. And
I'm
Danny
assuming
is
Danny's got a bit of a voice.
No, I know, but, I'm not sure who sort of has the final say there. But obviously, Danny wouldn't be there if he didn't have some new influence.
And so you think one of the... will be gone, and Quinn Snyder probably is done in Utah as well.
I think the roster goes first. To me, Trader Danny's going to make something happen. I think Danny is there to just definitely blow this thing up. The Jazz have gone from the Utah Jazz to the Utah Blues. It's Donovan Mitchell, thinking about that.
Did you write that one?
I just did now. After Trey was saying, maybe we shouldn't have a team. I mean, just go without a roster. Let's maybe you change the name. Go from different type of music. Blues.
Sure.
For now. St. Louis Blues. They work. They won a Stanley Cup.
Shout out to John Hamm.
Oh, he's a St. Louis Blues fan. Yeah,
nice. Only reason I know that is I just saw a clip on Twitter of our Canadian friends, Renee Paquette and help me out. She works at the NHL Network.
Jackie?
Jackie Redmond, yeah. They're talking to John Hamm. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. He's a Blues fan. Yeah, they won the cup a couple years ago, I guess. I don't know. Wayne Gretzky was a member of the Blues once. Weird. Anyway, what were we talking about? The Utah Jazz.
You wanted to get rid of the entire team name, the franchise. I don't know what you're saying.
Well,
roster.
Does Donovan Mitchell want to be there? I think that's
the first. Don't think so at all.
And at least Rudy Gobert has a beehive. And started a whole
some roots.
Well, he's going to be 30 soon. It's not like he's young, and you would tend to lean again with the younger player. But it didn't seem like Donovan really played with his heart and soul in this series.
I agree.
And Rudy did, even if it wasn't all that beneficial.
And I thought
Rudy was better than Mitchell in this series, no doubt about it. I mean, the defense was a problem, but the defense was also a problem because of Donovan Mitchell. But I also don't think Dwayne Wade bought into the Jazz to coach Rudy, or to have a Rudy Gobert-led team. Mm-hmm. I think he's there because of Donovan Mitchell. So mm-hmm. I think that probably has a factor in it as well. There's a lot of new voices, in the Jazz front office right now. So we shall see. I mean, Mitchell's going to get the most back, for sure. Yeah. Being a younger guy, being a more famous guy and just kind of like a higher ceiling kind of player, but I don't know. You saw me. I was trying to work trades to get Rudy Gobert to the Bulls. Teams will take him. Once he gets away from the Jazz, if you put him on a team with a better lob passer, he'll be even better as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, for sure. I wonder, Donovan, I know we make this comparison to Dwayne Wade, but Dwayne Wade wanted to be in Miami until he didn't want to be in Miami. And
then he wanted to be in Miami again. Yeah. He's like, oh, bad.
Had to put the Cavs patch on that Hall of Fame jacket. Had to put, I guess they just put the Heat patch once. They didn't put it twice. It's just, I don't think that Mitchell wants to be there. It doesn't feel like it. And what's his number one issue? If Rudy goes, is he happy to be there? I suppose that's a possibility, but it's odd watching from this side after seeing Donovan Mitchell be, number one guy, and maybe he has to be a point guard, as Tony Jones said at The Athletic. That was a good little rundown. But he can score with the best of them, and then this series, he just wasn't even close to that guy.
All right, well, let's move on. Let's look ahead. Suns-Mavs. That is the second-round series, also known as the Western Conference semifinals.
Why aren't the Western Conference quarterfinals the first round?
I know. This is what I said. I asked him, what do you like? Do you like calling them the semifinals or second round?
I'm a second round.
Second round man. Yeah, of course
because
you are.
Because you say semifinals, and then is it the semifinals of the conference, or is it the semifinals?
You
go from semifinals to finals to finals.
That's right, Dad. Yeah. That's why it's a second round here.
Sorry
okay?
if I missed this conversation.
No, it's
you
all
don't
right.
get a T-shirt if you win the conference semis, though. Okay, you only get a T-shirt if you win the conference finals.
Yes.
That's a good point.
That's
You're
how
right.
you determine accolades in your life. Free T-shirts. Okay, so Suns Mavericks, this is going to get started early next week, I believe. Do we have the schedule? Is that one out? It's going to be probably Monday or Tuesday.
It's a Monday.
Is it? Okay.
It's a Monday, yeah.
So let's break it down. You know, again, things to watch, Tass, X factors, you know, ultimately predictions I think we can make here maybe today. No, I guess we would have Monday show too, but have at it. You excited for this one?
Yeah, for sure. I think starting from just the basics, the Suns aren't going to leave Mav shooters open the way the Jazz did.
Right,
as simple as that. And I think this is going to be a lot on Jalen Brunson's shoulders to score a lot in the mid-range because the Suns are going to do a good job of taking Luka away to some degree. I think you're going to see they're going to find a way to get Mikal Bridges on him and show him some length. I don't think if we look up and down the roster, the Mavs can win without Jalen Brunson having a real good night. If he has an off night, I don't think they win because the Suns have the advantage inside. We saw what DeAndre Ayton did against Jonas Valanciunas. He was really, really good. He had 22 in this last game. Now he's going to go up against Dwight Powell and Maxi Kleba. Advantage there. The Mavs, if they have any advantage, it's high-scoring guards. And I think Luka's going to have to trust Jalen because they're going to get the ball out of his hands and show him a billion different defenses. So it's up to Dinwiddie, but mainly Jalen Brunson because he can get into the interior more than Spencer Dinwiddie can and score. The Suns are going to be 100% healthy. You know, as healthy as you possibly can be, three nights off, and Devin Booker, fairly healthy as he played here in game six with 32 minutes. I say the Mavs have a bit of an advantage at the guard spot. Do they? I mean, I don't. That's their only thing that they can really truly look at and say, maybe we have more scoring guards if, you know, Devin Booker and Chris Paul are forced to guard Jalen Brunson and Spencer Dinwiddie, mostly Brunson. Again, I think it's on Brunson to have big nights. They're going to have to score a lot. The threes aren't going to be raining down as much as they were against Utah. So, to me, it's a lot on Brunson's shoulders. The Suns team, yeah, as we said about the Pels, they got warm. They're ready to play good ball and get out on very good shooters. And the Mavs, yeah, well, they want to shoot 40, 45 times. And hope they go down, but the Suns are going to be out there, man. So I think it's going to be Brunson in the mid-range. He's got to score a ton.
What do you think,
Mike? Well, Finney Smith, I think, and Maxi Kleber as well. If those guys are hitting threes, then the Mavs are a chance. But I think the perimeter defense from Phoenix is going to be much better in this series than it was against the Utah Jazz. And also, the Mavs really are going to have to figure out how to do something about DeAndre Ayton. In the series against Jonas Valanciunas, he averaged 20 points on 70% shooting. Mm-hmm. And he got 10 rebounds a game.
It goes completely overlooked, too.
Oh, yeah.
No one really talks about Ayton at all, really.
He's got that mid-range, just like, you catch it and throw it. And it's a sort of a Jokic-like, pushy, sort of floaty shot, but very, very effective. I mean, to knock in 70% is incredible. So Dwight Powell is going to have his hands full. Whoever's on, you know, Kleber, they're going to throw a few guys at him. But the Suns know that that's a big advantage for them. So they're going to spread the floor with their shooters, and then they can try to take advantage. But if those Mavs guys are hitting them shots, they're a chance.
Well, yeah, you had DFS hit 17 threes in this last series. You had Bullock hit 17 threes in this last series. Maxi Kleber hit 16. He shot over 50% from three. In addition to Brunson hitting a lot, Luka, you know, can catch fire. They're going to need to knock down a ton of threes again like they did against the Jazz, but I'm with Tass. They're not going to be as open.
Definitely not.
As they were against
Utah. The Suns are good at defense.
Exactly.
They all play defense.
Yeah.
And they play it on the perimeter, which is big, which I'm with you, Lee. I think Ayton is definitely the X factor here. He wasn't very good against the Mavericks during the regular season. He shot 60%, which is nice, but only 13 points per game. Just, he needs to shoot the ball, you know, because the Suns do not have a small ball lineup, really. They don't have a small ball center, and the Mavs are at their best when they're playing small, but Ayton should be able to punish that, and he's a lot more talented than Gobert is offensively, but there are just times when he drifts and doesn't impose his will inside. If he's able to be consistent for this entire game, that's a huge win for the Suns.
I'm really excited to see Bridges and Doncic go.
Big time.
Those arms of Mikal Bridges.
Why do you want to keep calling him Mike?
I know.
Mike Bridges.
Mikal. There's a football player called Michael Bridges who used to play. Anyway, soccer. But this is the sort of challenge that Bridges is going to be like, I want Doncic. I want to be the guy who sort of shuts him down and slows him down. Now, he won't shut him down, but he can certainly make life difficult for him because he's so athletic, he's so long, and he's quick. And Doncic has still got this Kyle Anderson pace that can still fool the other defenders to getting those shots off. But that should be really exciting. I know Tim Cato mentioned he wonders if they might put Bridges on Brunson because they were former college teammates, so he knows how to play him, and almost stifle that second man first. I don't think so, but maybe at some point in the series we'll see it if Brunson is having one of one of those really good games.
Well, this is what Tass was talking about. Like, can Brunson play much better than he just played in a 6-game series? I mean, the guy averaged 28 points per game. He's 4-4. Like, he shot, you know, 48% from the floor, decent from three on a lot of attempts, 36% from downtown. Like, I don't think Brunson has another level to him here, but you're asking, I think you are having to ask a lot. Like, you gotta be this 25 to 30 here for us to win four of these games against the Suns and pull off the upset. I mean, I'm with you. I agree with what you're saying, but that's a lot to ask from this guy, I think.
Yeah, and those numbers would be a heck of an accomplishment without Luka there because he wasn't there for half the series, so he had the ability to just go for 40. So if he gets those numbers, then that's the Mavs recipe for me because I don't think they're going to outscore DeAndre Ayton on the inside. And Luka is going to have Mikal Bridges on him. I think Jalen Brunson has to hopefully be able to take that Chris Paul matchup or that Devin Booker matchup and lick his lips and go at it and create for others as well. I think Luka's going to trust Brunson. I think he did a good job of trusting his other guys in 4-5-6 when he came back. But that's the key for me. Is Brunson being able to go off?
It's just like so funny to think. Like, imagine going from going around Mike Conley for a series to then, Chris Paul, even Booker, who puts in a lot more effort defensively. I thought he had a great little stop on Ingram there last night down the stretch. Actually, like, really, it made it difficult at least for Ingram to try and hit a shot.
That's going to
be a bit of a change. Cam Johnson, great point. Okay, well, let's start making predictions on this. Suns, Mavericks. Task has started.
I can't bet against the Phoenix Suns. I think, yeah, that first round series was such a nice little warm-up for them. They have these 3 days off. Mm-hmm. They will be as close to 100% as possible. And, yeah, Mikal Bridges is a good matchup. I know Luka has that change of pace, but Mikal Bridges also has a change of pace. Like, you can't shake that dude. I mean, he is going to be on him as much as the Phoenix Suns can possibly get him to stick on him. So
Luka could try and get him in. It could get him into foul trouble with his just physicality, mm-hmm. I think. You know, it's the one thing that Bridges isn't going to have on him in terms of just size, you know. But he's a smart defender, so he picks up a couple quick cheap ones. I'm sure he'll adapt, but sorry to cut you
off. I wonder if Luka, I say he's going to trust his guys. I hope he does, because this is Luka in round two for the first time. Very exciting. I thought he, you know, tends to get a teeny bit shot happy, and that happened a little bit in game six. And I hope, for his sake and the Mavs' sake, they're going to get the most out of their team, I think, if he is trusting, again, of all the guys, Brunson, Dinwiddie, and Dorian Finney-Smith, who I love the DFS acronym. It's fun to say.
Daily Fantasy Sports.
Daily Fantasy Sports. Wow. I've never thought of that. I always think of DMX.
DMX.
Yeah. DFS, what you really want?
That's good, too. Wow, they should play that in the arena.
Yeah, I guess. If they're allowed, they should. Yeah. Anyway, I got the Suns being able to shut down Luka and friends, and being able to get to those 3-point shooters. Give me in six.
Okay, Suns in six. Trey, let's go to you next.
I'm right with Tass. I think it's Suns in six. They've been the best team this entire year. I think that they match up well enough against the Mavericks to continue that, and I think that the Mavericks are going to find it a lot harder playing against Phoenix than they did against the Jazz. One more question, though, is if Jay Crowder will actually be able to shoot the ball, because he finished 3-for-26.
He's due.
Yeah, he's due.
At some point,
he's due for a big series.
Oh, we didn't even talk about the Jay Crowder shirts that they acquired during the game and were wearing.
Yeah. But I also do think the Mavs can shoot the ball, you know? Yeah. Right? Like, and if they're hitting threes, that's a huge swing stat in their favor.
Mm, yeah, Jay Crowder's having 5 threes in game one. He just is. 5-for-5, probably.
Calling it.
But Phoenix swept them in the regular season. Does that mean anything? Probably not. Maybe it does. Who knows? I just think seeing Devin Booker back last night sort of thought made me feel like he's going to get a couple of days rest.
Yep.
They're at full strength. They're at home. I love the Ayton advantage they have there. So I'll also be on the Suns in six.
Okay, wow. Mm. I seriously contemplated Suns in four. Straight sweep. But I'll split the difference with you guys. I'll go Suns in five. I actually think they're going to be dominant. I loved what happened in the first round against Pelicans, said that time and time again, and it's going to be a rude awakening for the Mavs. Also, they're playing a team that can hit threes. This is the other part. The Jazz could not hit a three in this series against them. There were looks. They were there, but they couldn't knock them down consistently. That's not going to be the case with the Suns. And yeah, Booker, barely really even talked about him. There are going to be times in the series where, oh yeah, he's the best player, actually, mm-hmm. out there on the floor, and that's with Luka, and that's with Chris Paul and stuff like that. So I'll go Suns in five. But close games. Which is going to favor Phoenix as well. That's the other part. I mean, these are close games. You got Chris Paul and Booker making these decisions.
What about Luke?
Have they even... I mean, yeah, Luka does go for the home run shot a little too much for my liking. But then he'll go yard a couple times. You're like, wow, holy crap. But he's Rob Deere, you know? He swings for the fences. He either knocks it out of the park or he goes down with a strikeout. You remember Rob Deere?
No, but I remember Paul Konerko.
Who?
Paul Konerko. I had him in fantasy. What? I had him in fantasy baseball. I swear. Homer to deep left. Paul Konerko, first baseman. He was I loved him in fantasy baseball.
Deep left. He's a lefty. He's a lefty hitter. I thought he'd be a pole.
Is he a lefty? I thought he was a righty.
I don't know.
Fact check.
Maybe I'm thinking of another Paul. Maybe I'm thinking of Paul O'Neill.
Man, he just homered nonstop.
Where did that? Right-handed.
There you go.
Right-handed.
Is that his name? Is Paul Crokinole? So you say? You ever played that?
No.
Oh, it's a great game.
Alejandro Kirk is the new Paul Konerko.
Okay. All right. I got Suns in five. These guys got Suns in six. Let's hear from you guys out there in the stream team. Listening later, tweet at us your predictions for Suns Mavs. Get started early next week.
I love baseball. Sorry. I love baseball. Baseball Media Day photos, way better than basketball Media
Day
photos. You just get more of a breadth of player.
Yeah, because they just look like that guy that I'm looking at your screen right now. Maybe we'll send it to JD and have a look at it after the break.
We got to see this guy.
Guy looks like he's got a nice lawn, and you know he's got two kids, and That just looks like a dude that I see in my neighborhood. Anyway, we'll take our first break and then get into the Eastern Conference game from last night, unfortunately, and then look ahead to Sixers Heat. Don't go anywhere.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the... Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, yeah, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, offering outdoor outfits, or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, back in the Classic Factory here. Drop podcast on a Friday. Let's talk about the shitty game from last night. Joel Embiid scored 33 as the Sixers finish off the Raps in Game 6. Final score, 132-97. And Tass, we got the Raptors, unfortunately, with their patented third quarter collapse where they just can't score. Mm-hmm. And the Sixers broke things open in really the middle of that third quarter. They went on a 22-3 run. Raps couldn't score for like 4 or 5 minutes. I think they hit one bucket over like a 7 minute stretch. Maxey hitting threes, feeling good. And then Philly led by 20 with like, you know, 5 minutes to go in the third quarter. And it was over, Hova. And it was tough to watch, obviously, as a Raps fan. And everybody wanted a game seven. And Philly's big four, they said, no, we're not going back to Philly. They're going to boo us there. We got to win this game. But Joel Embiid, 33-10. Harden, 22-15. I thought this was the best he had played in this series. Maxey, again, back to like early Maxey in the series, 25 points, 5 of 12 from deep. And then Tobias Harris, who was really consistent all series long for the most part, 19-11. And then you had Danny Green splashing threes as the you know, the crap cherry on top of that Sixers Sunday for me. So everybody played well, and they and the Raptors, they just couldn't stay in front of a single Sixers attacker, I thought, last night. And they got hammered.
The Sixers came out of their locker room and said, we're finishing the series right here, right now. Yeah, the Raps couldn't stay in front of anyone. A lot of it was, there's so many guys coming at us. They had several guys coming at them. Even though they scored 132 points, I do think this game was lost in the fact that there's just not enough shooting around Pascal Siakam. He was the point guard getting into the lane, and nobody really wanted to let it rip from the outside because they weren't comfortable hitting shots. That's where they missed Fred VanVleet. Sometimes you're going to get these big offensive games from talented guys in the NBA like Embiid and, as you said, Harden, his best game, and Maxey, who's come and play it at another level. The Danny Green shots were definitely Dagger Danny's, because if you make him put it on the floor, like the Raps were doing, they were getting out to him on the defensive end, and he had to put down a dribble, and he was still hitting shots. This was one of those special Danny games, and those were big points, I think, as the game went on. Yeah, not enough shooting. Great season, though.
But that was
Raps fans still waiting. They're still waiting until that final buzzer, until they... They checked everybody out. Great fans up there in Toronto, even though they've priced out a bunch of them. And I know...
I thought the crowd sucked. I'm going to say it. Compare that crowd last night. I'm talking about the first half when it was still a game. Compare that to what was going on in New Orleans and even Utah. It was night and day. It was jarring going from that game to those other games. The electricity, the hype in the crowd. I thought it was
scary. Sometimes Raptors fans get a little scared.
They stuck around and gave them the ovation that I think the team deserved from a good season. And coming back, obviously, from Tampa and all that, kudos to those people. But I thought it was pretty brutal. Am I wrong? No, it wasn't translating.
There was some butt. Some butt squeezing.
Yeah.
I think in that first
Why? That's a weird game to be butt squeezing, because you're down 3-0 in the series. Like, we thought this was going to be a zoo up there. And it wasn't. It was
a petting zoo.
It was brutal, in my opinion. I didn't think they brought... And it was a classic third quarter, nobody back in their seats, and that's when the Sixers go on their run. It's like, I mean, you can set your watch by it. It's amazing. But the Sixers played an incredible game, and maybe that's a big part of it. It's like, they helped take the crowd out of it.
Yeah.
But I just don't think they were really even there from the jump. But maybe it's that 7 o'clock start got him in Toronto there, TK.
Yeah.
Drake was late.
I think the problem was that Harden was too good last night.
Yeah.
That was like the Harden that you're expecting if you traded for him in Philadelphia. And I thought they had just a smart game plan where they would run a pick and roll. They would get Gary Trent Jr. onto James Harden. And then they would bring Joel Embiid up, because Gary Trent Jr. is much smaller than Embiid. Picks him off, and then it's just a runway to the rim for Harden. So I thought that was pretty smart from Doc Rivers. Shout out to that coaching adjustment from Doc. He was right, man. The Sixers did have another playoff gear here, and it came out in the second half. They won the second half by 34 points.
Yeah.
That's wild. Like, this was a close game at halftime, even if the crowd wasn't bumping. But sometimes you just got to have your worst playoff loss at home in franchise history. It happens to everyone, you know?
Yeah. I mean, even I'll admit, as a Raps fan, in the first half when it was a one-point game, it was first off way too high scoring for the Raps to really win it. It was like in the 60s, right? It was 61-60, I think, at the half. And also it was like Chris Boucher was the best player for the Raptors. Yeah. It was like, okay, he's killing it, doing work on the boards, keeping them alive. And then Gary Trent Jr. was hitting shots, and it was like, ooh, I'm not sure I like the Raps' chances, Lee, in the second half if Boucher and Gary Trent Jr. are the ones sort of leading the team. Siakam had a good overall game, but it was a bunch of offers from a bunch of the other guys, unfortunately. Yeah. You know, OG and Precious and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think, though, for Philadelphia, they had 32 assists in this game. That's the most in the whole series, and they had 29 in game one and the other blowout. So when they move that ball...
Yeah.
They're just way more effective on the offensive end. And Danny Green, he kept them in the second quarter. He hit his all four threes then. And that was kind of like, all right, if Danny Green's doing that, you've got to capitalize on that for the Raptors. And they just weren't able to. And then in that little run, Maxi, I thought, was really good. He hit a couple of threes, and he pushed the pace as well.
Mm-hmm.
Harris got the corner three. And that sort of like was like, hey, just run at these guys and see if you can break them down, because they've been playing heavy minutes, the Raptors. No excuses. They've been playing heavy minutes, though, and I think that sort of just caught up with them a little bit. They didn't have the legs. And Precious, he's been a little... he's been good in this series.
Oh, he has.
Wasn't good last night, though.
Not at all.
And OG, I didn't think... he was okay, but he didn't really have it last night, I didn't think. So
the Raptors... Foul trouble stunk.
Yeah, and the Raptors just had to be... They had to be like the Suns, had to be perfect. And they were pretty good in the first half, but that third quarter blew it open. And Joel Embiid, he was bottling it all up.
Oh, yeah.
And we got it. We got the airplane out of him.
Yep.
So congratulations to the Sixers, though, because they answered a lot of questions in this game, in this series. They were under the pump, for sure. You could feel Doc Rivers, that sort of thing he had with the media, that was him feeling the pressure of, like, we don't want to blow it. James Harden hadn't been good. He was much more aggressive, just aggressive last night. Like, he just hasn't been that. And then, you know, the fact that they were on the road, the Raptors were, like, feeling good, everything's going their way, and the Sixers have a convincing victory. So congratulations to them. They deserve it.
Yeah, moving on. Just to wrap up the Raptors season, you said it was a good season.
Damn, overall. Right. It was.
Yeah, because for what reasons? What are you pointing at?
Well, the over-under win total, let's start with that, was whatever, 34.5 or so. Smashed it.
Yeah.
And they overcame a ton of injuries to get to that mark. It's surprising when you look back at their season and how many guys were out, and Fred basically being half a Fred in the last 30 games of the season. They came together. When it was unexpected, Scotty Barnes was the biggest revelation of all of them, being the Roy, the Roddy, some people will say. It's a Roy. It's not Rookie of the Year. Just say Roy. It's fine. That, the way he came along and stole the show and added a piece to this Raptors team that was surprising. Even if you were a Masai Ujiri believer, to have Scotty Barnes come out and play this way as the number four pick, that's the biggest revelation of them all. And Pascal Siakam shut up a lot of people with what he did. He came from the season that, you know, he was a monster in 2019, and then the bubble playoffs didn't work out for him, and then last season was a down season, but he came back to be that guy he was in 2019. Maybe not a number one guy, but if he had shooters around him, things would have been different in this series, I think.
Yeah, I would just add to that too, and this is no surprise with the Raptors and their organization, but development from Precious Achiuwa, who had a bad game six, no doubt, but got better as the season went on. Boucher, obviously, Gary Trent Jr. too. So, like, you're seeing that development from some of their guys. They avoided the play-in tournament and got Scotty Barnes some reps here, like a playoff series. And they made it interesting for an extra week when they went down 3-0 and Embiid hits that huge three to take that game. You're like, oh, they could have just rolled over and died, and they didn't. Mm-hmm. And they won two games and had a lot of people, including myself, convinced it was at least going seven, and they were going to become one of those rare teams to do it. But Sixers just had all their guys, led by Embiid too. I loved him saying, give me the damn ball.
Yeah,
I'm parking my ass right in the paint and give me the ball. And he was upset at times when it wasn't happening. It was great.
In the first half, you're right,
Harden. And it's not like, you don't need Harden scoring 40 points.
Nah.
You got Embiid. You need Harden just being aggressive, getting into the paint and setting up shooters and getting to the line, of course. And then when he starts feeling it, oh, then you see the old Harden, the little bounce back sidestep three, and you hit a couple of those too. So, yeah, they got it going here for game six. They looked like the much better team. I mean, that's the truth.
Definitely.
For the start of the series and then, of course, at the end. But, yeah, Raptors gave him a run at least for their money and gave us a couple more shows and games to talk about. Well, let's get into the Heat Sixers preview then. Let's do it, because this one starts on Monday, Game 1, South Florida. Top-seeded Heat, remember, beat the Hawks in 5. Took the Sixers 6 games to move on from the Raps. So, keys to watch, X-factors, and predictions. Trey?
I think this one's kind of tough to call, because the Sixers have the best player in Joel Embiid. Maybe they could have the best two players, depending on what you're getting from James Harden. That's probably a game-to-game thing. But the Heat definitely have a deeper team, a better coach. They're much more consistent, and they have solid top-level talent as well. But I guess the first question is health. I think Jimmy Butler, not really anything to worry about. Seemed like he was just resting in Game 5. I think it was his first playoff game he ever missed. Still found a way to get a $15,000 fine by dropping the humps on the sidelines. So contributing in other ways, which is nice. Lowry, though, definitely more concerning. Hamstrings are the worst injury to have in the playoffs this season. A lot of hamstrings going around right now. But if Lowry's able to play, the matchups just make sense across the board, really, for both teams on both sides. Embiid and Bam, sure. Yep. Harden and Butler, sure. Maxey and Lowry, I assume. Harris and Tucker, Green and Strus. I've got a lot more faith in Miami's bench. What it comes down to, I think, is who shoots threes better. This series was split in the regular season 2-2. The winning team made more threes in every single one of those games, and it really makes sense when you think about it. The Heat just shoot threes. They like to shoot threes. That's where they get a lot of their offense. And the Sixers, that's what their role guys have to do after you collapse on Embiid or Harden gets into the paint and kicks it out. So that's where it's all going to come down to, who is able to get hot from the outside. I do think, because both teams are solid defensively and they're going to make it tough on their opponents. Like, you know, the Heat are going to throw some crazy stuff at Joel Embiid to try and take him out of his game. They'll obviously make it tough on Harden as well. And then the Sixers have just solid defensive talent in Embiid and Thybul if he's able to stay on the court there. So this seems to me to be a really tough series. I think these teams are going to hate each other by the end of the series, no doubt. I look forward to Jimmy Butler and Joel Embiid. I think they like each other. I think Jimmy's a big Joel Embiid fan, but they also love talking trash to each other, so that should be pretty fun.
Yeah, well, I think Embiid wanted them to keep Jimmy, didn't he? And he sort of has made that clear. And Jimmy has really stepped it up in the playoffs. He did miss that last game, but otherwise he had the 45-point game against the Heat, or the Hawks, and he's been shooting that three well, which he doesn't usually shoot. So that's going to be huge. I'm really interested to see the Bam and Joel Embiid matchup. If one of those gets the other guy in foul trouble, that's going to leave a huge hole for the other team.
Right.
Because they don't really have DeAndre Jordan's not coming out there to cause any problems there for Bam. So, but the good thing again about Miami, they don't rely on one guy to have to do that 45-point game. They've got a very good bench. Tyler Hero, you know that Gabe Vincent, Max Strus is going to come off the bench and give them everything. So it's going to come down, I think, a lot too as well, what those role players, like what was Tyrese Maxey going to give them in this series? He was really good for a couple of games against the Raptors, not so good in a couple others, but he's quick. For example, a matchup against Kyle Lowry, he can get past Kyle Lowry, I think, but then Vincent and Strus and those guys can probably cause him a
Vincent
few more.
Special.
Yeah, they'll get right in his face. So, and Tyler Hero, what sort of impact is he going to have in this series? I think that's going to be huge. So this one should be a 90s style basketball. I think they're going to be grinding in this.
Yeah.
You know, PJ Tucker's going to want that Joel Embiid matchup for a few possessions too. And he's just going to jump on him and bite him.
Kinky. I'm salivating at the Bam and Bead matchup here. Yeah. I think Bam is going to take this one personally because you know, he feels like he was overlooked in the defensive player of the year and all that. And he's like, okay, I'll go and shut this guy down. They only met once in the regular season. And Bead only shot 4 of 15. Got his free throws, though. He got to 22 points. But Bam played him well. They'll live, I think, a lot with just Bam playing him straight up. You'll send doubles here
as
and there,
you,
you know, keep him on his toes and try and force him into turnovers. But they're going to be all confident with Bam being able to, quote unquote, contain him. And I can't wait to watch that unfold and how Embiid handles it.
No doubt. They're going to try and do it one-on-one. This Heat team is still a little bit overlooked to me, even though they took care of the Hawks. When I was in Vegas, they were definitely the second screen experience. They weren't the prime spot, even though their game was coming to a close, and the Wolves and Grizzlies still had like a full quarter, and the Heat Hawks were just in the last minute, still on the secondary screen. I think people are forgetting Bam is that good, and I think that creates some problems for Tyrese Maxey and for James Harden as well. If you know, unlike the Sixers series where the Raptors had to double and beat, they had to throw so many bodies, and that I think really helped out Maxey. And helped out a juicy Harden when he wanted to play like he did in Game 6 there. So I think the Heat just have that extra gear that the Sixers showed in Game 6 against the Raps, but I don't think they can do it consistently. And so I think that the matchups are a little bit better for the Miami Heat. I think Spoelstra is going to go deep on that bench. He's going to throw out a bunch of guys, as you guys said. Gabe Vincent will probably get some maxi minutes, even though he's not, you know, considered the starting guard, depending on what happens with Lowry. I like the week off that Jimmy Butler got, essentially.
Yep.
He played on Sunday, and that was his last game. He's not going to have to play till Monday, so that's a full 7 days there. I think that the Heat are a little bit fresher, and they have a better they have extra gear. They got the depth. The three-point shot is really interesting. What's going to happen there? But I do like the matchups for the Heat in this one.
Predictions. Trey, what do you think? This is tough. I actually, you know, I feel like a lot of these second-round matchups, I know we're going to get to Celtics-Bucks and make our official predictions in a second here. It's difficult. I'm like, I go either way with some of these, but where do you start, Trey?
Yeah, I guess people were right. The top four in the Eastern Conference is pretty tough here. I hate to see a seven in here. I got Heat in seven, but it makes me feel like such a coward. Like, you can't really go either way. Like, that's the coward's way of picking a series. But I'm going Heat in seven.
Okay.
I just have a little bit more faith in the Heat in a do-or-die situation, and they would also have home court advantage, but this should be a banger of a series. This is the fight series.
Okay. This is the fight series.
Yeah.
Somebody maybe misses a game even.
Oh, yeah.
Throw it out there. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, well, Jimmy in Philadelphia, yeah, he's going to be talking smack to the fans.
Jesus.
This is tough. I think the reason I'm going with the Heat is home court and that defense that we saw. Now, it's different when they're going against the Hawks versus Philadelphia, but I just think a little bit like with Joel Embiid against the Raptors, I feel he might have to play 40 to 44 minutes a game to really be effective because the Sixers are going to miss him when he's on the bench, I think. So,
don't say you don't trust Paul Reed.
Well, that's the problem. That's the problem.
Ollinger
the depth
will kill you.
The depth favors Miami here, and you just know that their focus is like just shut these guys down as much as you can. So, for those reasons, I'm going with Miami. I think they do it in six.
Heat in six.
Yeah.
All right, Tess.
Yeah, there's going to be a fight. I agree. We didn't even talk about the potential of Dwayne Dedman coming off the bench and playing a little bit of backup minutes against Joel Embiid.
He
wasn't really needed against the Hawks, but yeah, he should be in the rotation. dust off a Udonis Haslam gif. I wouldn't put an Udonis Haslam into the game, but he's going to be on the sideline.
He's got six fouls he can throw at Joel Embiid if they need him.
A minute and a half of fighting? Yeah, possibly. Yeah, the depth, I think, is key. And I think the way the round one has shaken down, where we haven't got a game seven yet, you know, we have the potential of only having one. I think it's okay to say seven games. That's allowed because we haven't had one quite yet. So I will take the Heat in seven. I don't have a little, I think sometimes when we watch so much basketball, you kind of forget about the Heat, you know, having not played for a few days. And so the Sixers are fresh in the mind. But I think the Heat are a better team. I'm sorry, that's right. I was going to stop myself, but the Heat are the better team.
I think, like, the James Harden wild card is, like, you don't really know if Harden, plays like he did in Game 6, and at times a little bit in the Raptors series, then, man, it's such a game changer because, like, is Butler going to go for 38-6 again like he did in the series against the Hawks? I don't think so.
I mean,
it's going to be a lot different, of course, who's guarding him and, like, their defensive game plan, too. So it's, like, I think Bam and Embiid, as exciting as that will be as the big guys going at it, to me, it's, like, which one, especially in clutch situations, Harden and Jimmy Butler take over the game when it's in a tight game in one of these close games. So I'm leaning towards the Heat. I guess I'll go Heat in six. I'm not a coward. I'm just kidding. I honestly feel like Heat in seven too, but there's too many. So I'll go with you, Lee. Heat in six. But everybody taking the Miami Heat here, and no one taking the Sixers to get to the conference finals.
They could do it. It just feels,
they could.
You know, less rest. They're traveling. Fatigue could be a factor with Embiid, I just think.
I mean,
more
there's
so.
The whole... Okay, hold on. You talk about fights. There is the whole Embiid thumb here thing, too.
Mm. Yeah.
There's a bunch of guys on the Miami Heat that don't give a shit. You know, they're gonna smack at that thing.
Yeah.
They're gonna hammer that thing. And that could, of course, lead to some pushing and shoving and some techs and flagrants and tosses and stuff like that.
I'm just concerned about the Sixers wanting to turn it on when they want and not really playing 48 minutes like the Heat do. And James Harden... Yeah, I haven't seen a dunk like he had in the first quarter against the Raptors from him in a long time. But why did it take till game six? And Embiid, I'm not so worried about the thumb.
He's lulling you to sleep.
Yeah, he lulled everybody to sleep for sure. But even though it's kind of stupid to say that a team is fresher in the postseason because everybody gets rest in between games, the Heat are chilling to some degree. I think that helps. And the Sixers, I don't trust them to get better as the playoffs go on. And okay. I'm mainly thinking about their big guys, their main guys, in Harden and Embiid. And it's on Embiid, too. He hasn't been in a conference finals quite yet. And this is his time to do that. But he's got to be so good against a very, 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 very tough team and coach. So that's a lot on his shoulders, and it's a lot on Jimmy James' shoulders. I think they'll do a good job of
Jimmy James.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Boy. You can't do that in a series where...
Yeah. There's Jimmy a Jimmy Butler,
yeah.
And there's a James. We got to call James Harden James.
Okay, no, let's call James Harden Jimmy Harden. Let's call Jimmy Butler James Butler for this series. Really confuse people. Though we've said before, Trey, that Harden, like, his spinach might be the nightlife. Mm. He just went to Toronto. You know, turned it on in a game six. Had a couple days there.
A lot of people are saying he had a huge game last night because he knew he'd get to spend the next week in Miami.
I mean, that's what I'm saying, man. This guy could get stronger and better at being in Miami here. So starting the series, that could be good for the Sixers. I'm half kidding because I think this guy plays better when he's up till like 5 in the morning.
Maybe so, yeah.
All night. He's got that Iverson in him. Yeah. We'll see. All right, so let's hear from everybody out there. Sixers Heat, what's your prediction? X factors, what are you watching in that one? Let us know in the stream team. Okay, let's talk Celtics Bucks. We started talking about this while you were there in Vegas, but you get a start of TAS, you know, your thoughts on this series that starts on Sunday, game one in the afternoon, I believe on ABC, getting the marquee slot there. What do you think?
I don't like that time slot for the Bucks coming out to shoot. I think the Celtics are the better afternoon team.
Ooh.
Honestly, I think game one goes to Celtics. But anyways, let's get to the actual basketball. Chris Middleton's absence. Got to start with that. It stinks. I think on both ends.
Yeah.
Defensively, we'll get to in a second, but offensively, yeah, it's got to be now without Middleton, Giannis. Giannis setting up everybody, and I don't think the Bucks get a Grayson Allen series like they did against the Bulls because the Celtics are just too good. They're going to be out there on all the shooters that Giannis sets up. I think Giannis is going to have like an NBA Finals type performance where he went 35, 13, and 5. He's got to have numbers like that with great percentages, and that's hard to do. Your name's got to be Giannis or LeBron to do that. Maybe Giannis can do it again, but this is a Celtics team that's got the recipe to slow him down, like they did against Durant. Before he gets the ball, bang, bang, he's going to hit somebody, whether it's Marcus Smart, who they put on him in the regular season, which sounds a little crazy, but I think he's going to get bumped by him. And then a guy like Al Horford, who has the length, who is playing his best ball, who's a really, really great defender, shot 60% from three on the other end, and then rim protection with Robert Williams. So you've got a nice little recipe to slow him down.
Sure.
And Boston's just good at slowing down an opposing star. They're just so good to fight against defensively against stars like that. So I didn't mention Drew Holiday. I think Drew Holiday kind of has to be their second guy, because I don't think they're going to let set shooters really beat them like Grayson Allen and Wesley Matthews. I think Drew, like Kyrie, went off in game one against the Celtics. Drew could, but I'm not sure if he can do that for enough games in this series. So Middleton's going to be missed there, and on defense too, because I think Jason Tatum's going to look huge out there, because I'm not sure who they're going to put on Jason Tatum. I think Drew Holiday might get a lot of minutes on him, and that size advantage is a problem. You can put Bobby Portis on him, which I mean, not sure, but he's too quick for him. It's just going to hurt, because their wing guys like Jaylen Brown is going to go up against Wesley Matthews. Tatum's going to go up against, I don't know, again, they don't have a good matchup without Chris Middleton. They're going to miss him. So Giannis has to do a lot on defense, offense, and so I can't see him guarding Jason Tatum. I just don't see it happening, because he's got to do too much offensively.
He'll get spots on him.
Yeah,
sure.
But I think they're going to have to hide him a little bit, because he's got to do so much offensively. So I think the Chris Middleton factor is going to play big for me.
Giannis guards like Smart in that sort of game plan, where he can roam and press your luck whether Smart's hitting threes.
Yeah, I mean, Horford is fine. Yeah. Robert Williams is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, just not Tatum. I think Tatum, that's a problem.
What do you think, Trey?
It comes down to how much Giannis dominates this series, I really think, because that's the only way the Bucks win, is if we see a special performance from Giannis, which is certainly possible. He didn't have to tap into it very much against the Bulls. He would dominate for a few minutes, and that was the game. But now he's going against a much bigger, much smarter defense, maybe a defense best suited to try and take away what he does best. So I think Giannis needs to be NBA Finals Giannis, and we shall see if that's in the cards. Tass is right. Drew Holiday has to have a big series. He has to be looking for his offense, which is a big ask, because he's going to be playing one of the two stars on the Celtics as well defensively, and then they got to make their threes. Four Bucks hit 10 or more threes in the first round against the Bulls. Grayson Allen, Pat Connaughton, Drew Holiday, and Wesley Matthews. But the Celtics are one of the better three-point defenses in the league, so it seems like everything the Celtics do takes away what the Bucks want to do effectively, but the Bucks have been really good at imposing their will on other teams for the past four seasons, especially for the past season and a half. So I don't know. This is going to be a tough one. This is the one that if you're picking the Bucks, it's because you love Giannis and you're a Giannis guy.
Yeah, and I think his best chance at getting there and causing trouble for Boston is trying to get Williams and Horford in foul trouble, just beasting inside. But then he's got to stay out of foul trouble himself at the other end, because I think they might even attack at him. They might say, listen, best way to get Giannis off the court is to get him into foul trouble. So I just saw the Celtics just dominate Kevin Durant. And that's why I just think without Middleton there, it's going to be so much more difficult here for Giannis to be able to carry this team. And you guys have mentioned it. If he's going for 50 like he did in Game 6 against the Suns, they're a chance. But he has to do so much for them every single game against a brutal defense. So very tough without Middleton to see how the Bucks can do this. But as I said yesterday, if they can get it to Game 7, maybe that's that one game where Giannis does just produce, because that's their best thing. They've got to hold serve at home. Otherwise, I think the Celtics have just got too much depth, too much strength, too much offense, too much defense for them.
Right. You're also on the record saying you think the Celtics are going to take games one and two here in this series.
Yes,
in
I
Boston.
Do. Right. Yes.
Well, let's make some predictions. Task, get us started.
And it is strange that Boston has home court advantage, because they had the exact same record, right, and Milwaukee sat their guys on the last night of the regular season, last day of the regular season. Could have had another game on the Celtics, so that hurts. And I can't go away from the Celtics just watching them, how they play defense against the Nets. I think they're going to slow down Giannis, and Drew Holiday has got to be a playmaker, a scorer. And that's not really Drew. That's not Drew. And I know people are you know, looking back at the conference finals last year where Giannis was out, and they're saying, oh, they rallied around a guy who was out for a few games. First, Giannis Middleton, very different. Second, it was sort of later in the series as well. And so I think this is just a little too much to overcome for a full series against a team that's playing their best ball for the last several months and obviously doing it in the postseason as well. They're rocking. Celtics in six for me.
Beantown boy over here.
Beantown boy.
Okay. Trey?
From the Beantown boy to the Giannis guy, I got Bucks in six. I think this is a huge series for Giannis. Yep. I think he's the best player in the league. And if the Celtics beat him this series, I will stop not believing in the Celtics and I'll flip to being a Beantown boy. But for right now, I'm rolling with Giannis. I think he's the best guy out there. And I think that even though the Celtics have the game plan for it, it's different until you're playing Giannis.
All right. He's torn.
It's hard for me to see. I think the Celtics do it in six. I think they're just going to overwhelm the Bucks. Middleton's not coming back at all, so there's no real hope that he might come back. I just think they're too deep and too strong. So I hope Giannis does it, though. I would love to see Giannis do that Game 7 performance, but Boston's been so impressive.
Yeah, that's why this one's difficult, but I'm going with Trey. Shout out to Brandon Jennings, Bucks in six. Yeah, I believe it. I think there will be at least one or two games where Grayson Allen, who was amazing in the Bulls series, hits enough threes to help out Giannis. Maybe it's Pat Connaughton. Maybe it's your boy Wesley Matthews. Bobby Portis, you know, Brooke, obviously. Lopez didn't even talk much about him, and he can be a difference maker. But yeah, Giannis has to be special, and Drew Holiday is massive in this series. The pressure that he needs to put on and make one of those other Celtics players worry about him and defend him. But I am at the point with Giannis that I'm not going to bet against him until they lose the series. I mean, I think he's almost earned that at this point.
Sure.
And it's a good team, too. Don't get me wrong. But that's where I'm going with this one. Hopefully, it'll be entertaining. Close games. It'd be fun to see, Giannis and Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Drew, you know, trade big buckets down the stretch. But let's hear from everybody out there. As we always ask you guys, Bucks, Celtics, drop your predictions in the stream team. Let us know in the comments. Tweet them in at No Dunks Inc. Can't wait for that one Sunday afternoon. You got the schedule all cleared for that one, I hope.
I'll be watching that one. I don't know, actually. I have to check the schedule.
what do you got going on?
Well, we've got a big birthday this weekend, so I've got some activities planned.
You got a bigger birthday the next weekend.
Well, birthday party the next weekend, yes.
Wait, what? What's the difference?
Well, I've got the birthday weekend and then the birthday party weekend.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, he's getting two birthday parties, actually. Well, three, technically, but anyway. It's a big one. It's a milestone. It's 10. Double digits.
Cool.
Oh, the five-year-old is pissed that he's going out of single digits and going to double digits.
Really?
Five-year-old's like...
two numbers.
Yeah. He's like, can I turn 10 as well? You have to wait, man. You have to just wait.
Wait till he sees the amount of Lego the 10-year-old's going to get in the next couple. Yeah.
He's
already getting gifts? How many birthdays is he celebrating?
He knows he's getting Lego and, the little one's like working on trying to get the figures so if he can play with those. Yeah.
All right. Wow, it's exciting.
Crazy, man.
Okay, well, some of us will be watching. They'll have to watch on tape delay. Yeah. That's fine. We'll talk about it on Monday. Game one, Celtics-Bucks on Sunday afternoon. Okay, let's take our final break. When we come back, you got tweet of the night.
I do.
We got to get the John Legend report. I know we jumped right into the action.
JLR.
Yeah, for sure. We got to at least hear how Vegas was. And then we'll do some rapid-fire fun. Don't go anywhere.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
All right, back here in the Classic Factory, start wrapping up today's podcast. But we got to ask, how was Las Vegas. You were there for a couple days with the main objective to see John Legend. Did he put on a show?
Well, it was great to get away.
You're stressed, are you?
Well, no. We just need to get away from our kids.
Oh, good call.
We haven't done that since our first was born. Just needed a trip away from them. So then we saw John Legend on the itinerary in Vegas, and we said, oh, we missed his show a couple times here in Atlanta. Let's make it happen. We got on a plane. We went to Vegas. Vegas is still Vegas.
It hasn't changed, huh? Did it ever
same
change?
Business. No, same business. No, I don't think. Same business
still
model.
Still running those
rip
casinos.
Rip everyone off. Yeah. It was good. We ate really well. Nice. We ate well.
Where were you staying?
Cosmo.
Did you eat anywhere good around there?
Let's pull up a photo, JD. Oh, no. We know once upon a time we saw Spencer Dinwiddie at Egg's Lut. So Lee texted me before I went and said, why don't you get a photo of Egg's Lut?
Why don't you get a photo?
And so I did.
It's a great call.
Morning, we got in the lineup. And there was a lineup, but that $10.
There's always a lineup.
There is. That,
yeah. We wouldn't have seen Spencer Dinwiddie if there wasn't a lineup. Yeah. You know?
Well, he wasn't there. I guess they don't accept crypto at Egg's Lut. And I got a sandwich. Look at that yolk running.
Golden yolk. That honestly looks delicious.
I would lick the bag.
It's pretty solid. The food options are great there at Cosmo. Super expensive, but you know.
You went to Jaleo as well?
Oh, hello, baby. Yeah. Jose Andres, he's the man.
You did all the hot spots that we did.
Yeah.
Blue Ribbon?
Oh, wow. You got a boat? Did you get the boat?
I think we were the last people to get the boat. It's now off the menu. But they've added some nice spots. They've had a nice juice spot, which actually most of them have alcohol in the juice, but
Vegas.
A little juice alcohol.
Vegas hasn't changed.
But really quality juice. I mean, everything in that casino. Quality. Even the secondhand smoke. Quality secondhand smoke. But we went to the... you go from that place to, like, you know, the old places. I went to the Flamingo. Yeah. I thought the Flamingo habitat would be hopping. The flamingos are supposed to be amongst the people in the back. I think they all died.
Well,
flamingos,
secondhand smoke got to
them. Well, there's no circulation in that hotel. Zero circulation in that hotel. It's that hotel. We looked it up. We thought, how old is this hotel? How old do you think? I mean, this is the Flamingo.
Probably from 1950s.
Yeah, good call. 46, yeah. I think
it was. Wow.
But anyway.
I assume everybody in Vegas was wearing masks, right?
Right. we did some weird stuff. 2 days was nice to get away. Pool was popping.
Yeah? Oh, you checked it out.
Yeah, great. And we checked out the other one, too.
The hopping one, yeah.
Yeah, the party
scene one.
Party Central.
Yeah. And how was the concert?
Oh, it was good. It was good. A little loud.
Oh, God.
Went to Vegas, man.
No, it's just, it was, no, I'm saying the levels were off a little bit. Oh. They were off a little bit. We had the one set of drums just super loud. Anyways, you go to a residency type concert.
Yeah, I've never done that.
I don't think there's any real need.
Yeah.
You go to a concert where people want to watch the show.
Yeah.
Is John going through the motions? Like it's coming across?
No, he
like,
kicked ass. Okay. He kicked ass. He's getting paid. Good for him.
Okay.
But there are people there. It's like, you know, the suits at a Raptors game, the suits at a basketball
game.
They're getting comps.
I see.
They're not there for the performer.
Right,
they're there
the
because
they're
it's
in Vegas.
Happening.
Yeah, it's sure.
Something to do.
Yeah. Celine Dion said that when she was there.
She was sucked.
Yeah, people just turn up because it's like, you want to watch Celine Dion? Not really, but why not?
Yeah. You know? I'm sitting with plenty of people that didn't know who John Legend was, for sure. What did he end with? He came out for a double encore.
Yeah.
Wild, which is one of his newer ones. Did we go Green Light at the end there? Or was that right before?
That's a banger. That'd be a good song.
Yeah. Confetti Fell. Oh, the show was
good. Yeah, you got a great photo. I did see that.
The show was good. It was definitely good.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just a venue. It's just not amazing. Celine Dion, though, they're still playing that everywhere in Vegas. Watched The Blood.
She's still playing?
No. But they're playing her music.
Oh,
everywhere. Oh. People are performing it. It was part of the
venue. It's all coming back to me now when we've been there. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we had one dealer. I think even the dealers are lying. A dealer said, oh, I live down the street from Celine Dion. I see the helicopter come in and take her to the strip for her show. I don't think you live beside Celine. Don't buy it whatsoever. One day I was at the grocery store and Toni Braxton was shopping beside me. We walked away from the table. Danielle said, I don't think Toni Braxton's getting her own groceries. Anyway, it's
and,
Vegas.
And you
shit
said
happens.
Tables were not kind to Tasmelis this little trip.
We had a quick session at the end. Danielle was doing well at the roulette table, but yeah. Blackjack dealers turned some stuff, some ninja stuff against me. It was amazing.
Hey, look, are you excited to go back to Vegas for maybe some No Dunk Summer League? I can't wait to play blackjack with you.
That'd be fun.
You're my favorite guy to sit at a table with. I swear to God.
There's some blackjack tables that have the plexiglass for the dealer. Huge plexiglass. It's just so funny. So you got to go underneath.
Just slide under. Yeah. Oh, all right.
It's fun. Fun place for a couple days.
Excellent. Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Oh, yeah.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Just you talking about Vegas does have me excited to go.
I can't believe I'm feeling a little nostalgic right now.
Yeah.
It's so different when you don't have to work.
Yeah, exactly.
You have all the time in the world.
You do, yeah. No wonder. You're like, well, might as well go to a John Legend concert. Got a couple hours to kill.
I almost did the Absinthe show again on our other
day. Oh, great show.
That's a great show. Thought about it. Almost went to O as well, but... We didn't.
All right.
Didn't consider Penn and Teller, though.
Definitely tossed out for heckling.
I was an asshole that night. We saw the ad on the side of the Palms Casino. Is that where we saw it? Was that the Palms? Remember? Danielle said, is that where you saw it?
Sounds right.
Penn and Teller.
Yeah.
I think that was right. I remember the cup.
I don't know why. Yeah.
We saw a weird Meow Wolf exhibit as well. Very strange.
What's that exhibit?
There's an area 52 of Vegas where they've got all these things happening.
Okay.
And they had this strange exhibit sort of experience where you go into a grocery store, but all the products are fake, and then you can go to the back.
That moth milk thing.
Yeah.
Photo you shared. Yeah.
It was a strange. Sounds weird. Strange place. But an experience nonetheless.
Hey, did you go to our cheap Mexican breakfast spot?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
I saw it's still open.
I saw
an ad for it. I think it's still kicking. But I wasn't planning on taking Danielle to the old $4.99
special. She wasn't as into that as I was. Yeah. I love that $4.99. JD, you love that breakfast.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
It's great.
But if we go, are we staying at the Cosmo? We have to, right?
I mean, we got to.
We can pick and choose?
I don't know.
It's not on us.
I think we can pick and choose.
We're staying there, JD. Yeah.
Cosmo's great. They've added a bunch of stuff.
All right.
A little scotch. Starbucks as well. Nice. It was always hard to get a coffee there. Not anymore.
It was, yeah.
Okay. All right, Tweet of the Night.
Okay, multi-pronged. Okay. First one, Grayson Allen is getting booed by his teammates on the bus. Did you guys talk about that?
Well, we talked about them getting booed at home by the crowd, not the bus.
No, by his teammates.
That's great.
A tweet from Lily Zhao mentioned that Grayson Allen told us that his teammates, especially Wesley Matthews, have enjoyed booing him everywhere, from walking onto the bus, into the hotel, or when he watches film, they boo. So great stuff.
Do you think the Boston Celtics crowd, then, should cheer him?
They should.
Game one. They should.
Throw him off.
That would be very funny if they give him like a standing ovation when he checks in. Okay.
You know, Grayson Allen's their kind of player. Maybe they will cheer.
he sure seems like a Beantown boy, doesn't he?
On to the real tweet of the night. It comes from the great Mark Spears, who wrote a piece on Raptors rookie Scotty Barnes. And I haven't seen this information anywhere else but from Mark Spears. He wrote that Scotty has both daily and long-term goals on his phone's lock screen. That is his lock screen.
Whoa.
He's got a list, and Spears listed them in a piece on Anscape.com. So let's go through them. First bunch. There's two chunks here you'll see on Tweet of the Night. First one's, put myself in a position to take care of my family for the rest of my life.
Damn.
Be the best player for the Raptors. Be recognized as a top-selling big player. Like his wording there. Be known as a lead defender. You're checking the boxes, my man.
Wow.
Getting on to that second one, JD.
Yeah.
These are the last ones here. Be the best player on the court. He sees this every time he looks at his phone. Win every game and compete. Be a true leader by example. Destroy everyone at practice.
Wow.
Turns a bit then.
Yeah. And be rookie of the year. Check.
What's he do with that last one that is officially, you know, accomplished?
Yeah.
You take it off. Strike it out.
That's a good question.
But most improved, right?
Sure.
Not bad.
But MVP, man. Dream big.
Yeah.
That's just a good use, I think, of a lock screen,
That is
too.
Smart. Yeah.
That's a good point, yeah. Well, I mean, I got pictures of my kids.
Yeah,
I think
me too.
I'm changing it to
be the best podcaster I can be.
Destroy
Leo's take any chance I get. Shit on breakfast every possible chance you get. I like it. Use it for inspiration. You like that idea? What would you put on yours? Three little bulletin points.
What would
I
put
on mine? To tackle your life.
Another day, another opportunity. Stole that off Jamal Crawford.
Cool, fridge magnet.
Same.
Like it?
Maybe
put stop looking at your phone so much.
Yes. Yeah. Don't charge your phone tonight, you know? So then it dies and you don't have to watch it.
Don't watch it. Put that on your box.
Yeah. But then when you look at it, you're like, oh, yeah, it's not there.
Okay. Okay, that's good enough.
That's good.
Good answers.
That's good enough. Also, since we mentioned Alejandro Kirk, the Blue Jays catcher, earlier on in the show.
Well, that was the photo you were looking at. Yeah,
let's see him now, JD, if we can pull that up. That's him on the left, and another gentleman on the right, as I said, the best.
No, hold on. That's not a real guy on the right.
What, is it Photoshop?
I mean, I'm asking.
No. Is it?
I don't know. That's a thumb wearing a Yankees uniform, man.
Oh, okay. So maybe...
No, I'm asking.
No, you're right. This is probably why I couldn't find him. It's because it's a Photoshop of Gerrit Cole. Because I had no idea. I thought maybe he could be a relief pitcher. Is it that surprising?
I know. That's how crazy baseball is. That you're like, that's maybe a guy. And maybe it is. I honestly don't know.
So I thought it was a regular photo. I threw it in a WhatsApp chat. Our man Joel McMillan said, Gerrit Swole. And so I'm looking up Gerrit Cole. Is that his name? But Gerrit Cole's a starting pitcher making $1 billion.
So somebody got to Photoshop and
made him a little wider.
It's like Kim Kardashian taking out her belly button. It's the opposite.
Yes.
You see that? That's making the waves. Okay.
Anyways, I thought that was a relief pitcher. I guess it does look a little odd because his body doesn't really fit his neck.
Looks like
face.
A guy, Trey, I can't remember if you watched. Do you watch 90 Day Fiancé?
No, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
What's his name? About. Ed? Big Ed?
No idea his name.
Yeah, look up Big Ed. I think that's Big Ed.
Yeah, I think you're right. Big Ed.
Okay, great.
I think they should always take a... If you're a positional player, you should have a bat in your hand. And if you're not, then you should have a
glove.
Or not.
So now we know. So I could look through the pictures, because that's what I was doing. I guess it is.
So our best guess is that people took Gerrit Cole and made him Gerrit Swole.
Yeah, I guess. Because he didn't work out over the offseason to get that big.
He didn't work out
his neck.
I love that we were actually not sure whether that was a real guy.
He looks like his neck. It looks like David Wells. Who cares?
Yeah.
That's just the wild look. Ugh.
What a neck.
Okay. Great tweets. Love them all around. Tonight's game, only one on, Lely.
Yeah.
Game 6, Grizzlies Wolves. Now, you had a bad night last night. You said
0 for. I went 0 for last night.
Yeah, you went 0 for in your predictions. Yeah. But do you think the Memphis Grizzlies close this out in Minnesota, or we get a Game 7 baby? Our only Game 7 it would be, of course, from the first round on Sunday it would happen. What do you think?
I think the Grizzlies close it out.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
I think so. Not super confident in that pick. I mean, but the Wolves just haven't really been able to take control of these games and close them out when they should have. So I think Memphis realizes they can close it out and get ready for the Warriors in the next round at home. So.
All right. Tass, what happens tonight, Friday night?
I'm a closer. I'm a closer man. Mm-hmm. I think they finish the job here.
Gerrit Cole, is he a closer? You know,
Mariano,
starter?
Isn't he the famous closer?
Mariano Rivera.
Yeah.
He's still doing it. No, he's not still doing it now. No. I can't even name a closer.
Yeah. BJ Ryan, former Blue Jay.
Big lefty.
Yeah, huge. He had the big baseball head.
What do we love to do more? Name baseball guys or name hockey guys? Or in your case, name, you know, cricket or, I guess, football players.
Lee Smith was the man.
Lee Smith.
I loved Lee Smith. Eck Smith.
Bobby Thigpen. Yeah. Once set the saves record in the MLB, 57. Really nice.
Are like,
Thigpen coming out of the bullpen.
Are they even, like, things now? Like, I don't know. Closers, are they still a thing? Or is it like now it's by committee? So. Yeah, because a pitcher isn't usually going like 7 or 8 innings anymore, right?
Yeah, but they're still a designated closer.
Yeah, but I saw recently they took out a guy that had a perfect game going.
That
should be illegal.
Who is that? A Kershaw or a...
I forget who it was.
It was somebody.
Clayton Kershaw, wasn't it? Yeah.
Did you see this?
No, but I thought we were talking about it at the game that night.
It was. I think it was Kershaw. It was a Dodger, for sure.
Yeah.
All right.
It was his first game comeback from injury.
I don't care.
Only pitched 80 pitches.
Perfect game?
Seven, right? He pitched seven?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And not a lot of pitches, too.
80 pitches. But he was on a PC. He's on pitch count. Everything's PC these days, even baseball players.
So you got
wouldn't the closer, though? Wouldn't the closer? I mean, he's aspiring to be the starting pitcher, isn't he?
Never.
No?
Different skill sets.
Throws, man. Throws differently.
Not good enough.
Wow. Come in, you throw them as fast as you
That's
can.
That's me. Like, you might throw three pitches and you're done and your job's done. And you're like, my work is done here.
High pressure situations.
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Crazy.
Okay.
I'm a closer.
Put that on your lock screen.
I'm a closer.
Good. All right. Let's close this damn podcast here. We still have rapid fire. Trey, just give me a quick prediction tonight. What do you got? Are you going with these guys? Is it over?
No. I'm more of a setup man.
Yeah, you
I think we're going to be going to game seven, baby, to close it out. This one is really impossible to call. Like, every game feels completely different, except for, you know, it's probably going to be sloppy and somebody will make some crazy plays. Mm. So I'm hoping for the same, and I'm hoping we actually get one game seven here in the first round.
I'm in sync with Trey. You're a Dwayne Ward, man. You set it up.
Thanks.
It's the only setup.
I know. You're all about Ward and Hanke.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's all right.
That's my sweet spot for baseball. I'm also going Wolves, extending this and giving us a game seven on Sunday, which would be very exciting, of course. So we will see. Friday night basketball. Love it. Let's end with some rapid fire. JD, you got the questions. We got Lee, myself, and Trey answering these. Have at it.
Yeah, so yesterday, Lee made a reference to Nuns on the Run.
Yeah.
A screwball comedy from 1990 starring Robbie Coltrane and Eric Idle. Maybe Lee's deepest cut ever?
Yeah, I mean,
it's got to be, right?
That's fair. It's a movie I'd never even heard of.
Yeah.
And guys I had never heard of. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's the weekend, guys, and I need something to watch. So hit me with your deepest cut, a hidden gem of a movie that you love, but nobody else knows. Lily.
JD, I think you're going to like this 1998 neo-noir crime thriller called A Simple Plan.
I've seen it, yeah.
Ah.
It's a great movie.
Great, great movie. On Rotten Tomatoes, right?
Yeah.
90%. Now, I don't, you know. It just says 90% Rotten Tomatoes. But then I look at the box office, $16.3 million for a budget of $17 million. Something doesn't quite connect there. Mm. Like, it's a really good... You got a Bill Paxton.
Yeah.
You got a Billy Bob.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Thornton. You got a Bridget Fonda.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, like... The longer it goes, it just gets more twisty and curvy.
I'm trying to remember if I've seen this. It's a really, really good movie.
It's great.
Yeah. Definitely a hidden gem.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, thanks. Maybe I'll watch that. Skeets.
Well, this was difficult, JD, because I realized in trying to answer this, I only love five movies.
Okay.
There are only five movies I truly love. They are Gladiator.
Yep.
Interstellar. The Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah.
Of course, Rad.
Yep.
Which would be my answer, but I talk about it all the time. And then the other one, The Wizard.
Right.
So I'll go with The Wizard. I don't think you've watched it.
I have not seen it.
It's from 1989. We're starring a young Fred Savage, a young Haley Lewis, who would go on to become, you know, an incredible artist. Which
really?
Is crazy, yeah. And it's about, well, it's about video games, really. It ends up being about Super Mario Brothers 3 in the end. And somehow Haley knows about the flute, the magic flute, which is your warp whistle, even though they'd never seen the game. You know, there's some plot holes. But it takes me back to my ute.
Have you ever seen Cloak and Dagger? With
no.
Dabney Coleman and Henry Thomas, hot off of E.T. That's what it sounds like to me.
No.
It's about a video game as well. Like it's a spy thriller, but about a video game.
You ever seen Mac and Me?
I have not. I've only seen the clip that Conan and Paul Rudd always have.
That's something else, too.
All but right, cool.
Yeah, The Wizard. Those are the only five movies I like.
I think I would have been able to get three of them.
You guys would have.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Trey.
Which one stumped you, think? Okay, The Wizard, maybe? You've heard me talk about The Wizard before.
I wouldn't have guessed Interstellar, for sure.
Yeah.
Interstellar and The Wizard I wouldn't have got.
Interstellar is my new, it's like if it's on, I'm just yelling Murph
watch
and
it.
Trying to figure it out. Still haven't figured it out either. That's
nice.
Yeah. Anyway, Trey, what's your answer?
All right, Trey.
Have you seen Grandma's Boy, JD?
No, I don't think I have.
2006, a 35-year-old video game tester has to move in with his grandma and her two old lady roommates. On Rotten Tomatoes, a whopping 15%.
Whoa, whoa.
But 85 from the audience.
Yeah, okay, all right.
This is a stoner movie.
What are we talking Adam Sandler here?
Yeah,
Adam
Sandler.
I don't think he's not in it, but it's like all Adam Sandler associates, and it might be, it is a Happy Madison production. It's like Alan Covert and Nick Swardson are the stars.
Okay.
It's dumb. It's very dumb.
I like dumb.
It is very funny and very dumb.
All right, great.
And you said it's 18% from the critics and
15%.
Sorry, 15% from the critics, 85% from the fans. Yeah. Doesn't that fit the, is it Zach Harper and Amin Alhassan?
Cinephobe.
Yeah. Doesn't that fit the criteria?
I wonder if they've done it.
Yeah.
They have. It's funny.
Great. Okay, speaking of movies, we learned this week that Jason Momoa is joining the cast of Fast X, the final chapter in the Fast and Furious franchise, which I actually found out is a two-parter. So we got two movies coming, guys. Oh, my God. But the next day, we found out that Justin Lin has stepped down as director. Lee, put on your producer's hat and hire a new director for Fast X. Who you got?
Yeah, tough one for me. You know, not all that familiar with the franchise, but I think a guy who might like this high-octane type of movie is Guy Ritchie.
Oh, hey, that's good.
That's a good answer.
I like that answer.
Yeah. So
that works.
You know, he needs a banger. Maybe this is maybe these two can come together and form the perfect movie together. So Guy's my guy.
Great answer. That's all right, Skeets. Answer.
Well, Vin's going to do it, isn't he?
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah.
Which will
What do you mean? He's going to be in it?
No, he'll probably direct it. Oh. JD.
That's bad news.
Yeah, it's very bad news. Anyway, hopefully not. Though you saying that Fast X is a two-part
movie chapter one and chapter two, it sounds
They're
like.
They're really leaning into the WrestleMania angle. Going with the X, like WrestleMania, and then the two-parter, like the Saturday, Sunday night. But you know who should direct Fast X? A man by the name of Terrence Jason Doyle.
Love it.
Yes, you, JD, should do it. You've obviously did all the Fast Friends. You've got a great understanding of the series. You know what works, what doesn't, and you're a great director. Yep. So,
oh, thanks,
JD, for
I
Fast
appreciate
X directing.
Justin, who's still producing the movie, call me.
Okay.
Trey.
Well, it's funny you mentioned it, Skeets. I think Vin Diesel has to direct it. I think he probably will. And like, hey, man, you made your Fast and Furious bed. Now you have to direct in it. You're the one who got you got The Rock out of here. You got Jason Statham out of here. Everything that people love about Fast and Furious. Now we're left over with Vin. Just going to be Vin starring in every single role, like Eddie Murphy and the Nutty Professor. He's got to play every single part. And hey, he did a great job with Los Bandoleros.
Did he, though?
That classic short Los Bandoleros?
It's just going to be him and Michelle Rodriguez languishing on a kayak built for two for the whole thing.
Just making out the whole
movie. Well, I'd watch that.
Yeah, this was disappointing news to get, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
Justin Lin was leaving after they already started production. I was like,
Should we be doing a Fast Friends podcast here in the coming weeks?
Maybe.
Talk about all of this stuff.
Get Matty O on and get his thoughts on the whole debacle. Maybe he has some inside information on the Hollywoodness of it.
Oh, good point.
I love that. All right, last one here.
People asking for your full take on the Batman as well, JD.
No time for that. We're doing rapid fire.
Not right now. Whole podcast.
Oh, sure. We'll do that down the road. Why not? All right. Last one. The NBA Central tweeted this quote from Kendrick Perkins earlier this week. Quote, Ben Simmons is that pretty girl that is single and everybody is wondering why she's single. It's because she smoked cigarettes. Guys, we're all married men now. But take us back to your single days.
Yes.
What would be an absolute deal breaker in a partner back then, Lee? Don't dance around it. Just tell us.
Well, okay. First off, it was a boozy night in Paris.
That's chapter five of his autobiography.
Extremely boozy night in Paris.
That's funny. I just had one of those a couple nights ago.
It looks so real. It's a little smaller than you thought, right?
Yeah, me and this friend of mine, we were walking around. I don't know where we were. It was my first time in Paris. And we're in one bar and we're going to go to another one. And as we got out, this taxi pulled up and these girls were getting out of the taxi and we were going to jump in the taxi and then one of them said, you know, you guys want to go to a party? And it was a hazy, cold January night. And I didn't notice at first, but there was a strong jaw on this lady. Then I noticed a little stubble on the chin.
Oh. Is this a Kink song?
And then the Adam's apple was a giveaway. And that was the deal breaker for me.
Wow.
I was out. My friend...
That was the deal breaker. Okay.
My friend wasn't out immediately, and I had to say, no, we're going somewhere else. We're going to a different bar. We're not going with these ladies.
Paris, man.
When in Paris.
Yeah. Oh, my God. What a drunken, boozy, hazy night that was. I'm so glad I had this guy, because this was before we had mobile phones as well. So, like, no one knew. We didn't know where we were.
Couldn't look at your lock screen that said, the Adam's apple.
Man. I'd still be wandering around the streets if it wasn't for him, because I didn't know where I was. And we were just like...
Still, 20 years later.
I can't remember where the hotel is. But anyway, okay. So Adam's apples is the deal breaker for me.
Okay, Skeets.
That's so good. I can't follow that up. Nora told me, by the way, this question is like a thing on TikTok right now.
Oh, really?
It's, I guess, the kids, like, when someone gives you the ick. I guess that's the angle that they go with, the ick. But anyway, mine would have been, I guess would still be, not being able to dance.
Ooh, oh, that's a good one.
Like the lack of rhythm, yeah. Any sense of rhythm would be no thanks. Not interested.
that's a good one.
Yeah. I like that. Trey?
Yeah, I didn't have a great answer for this until I saw that picture of Garrett Cole. So, neck wider than the head. I'm out.
Okay.
Perfect.
There it is. A rapid fire, fun, hopefully a classic. But you tell us, let us know in the comments below. Let us know by liking the video, subscribing to No Ducks on YouTube, by giving us that 5-star rating and review wherever you listen to the podcast. That was a long one there for you on a Friday. Good to have the whole band back together, though, like I said. And we will be here next week, Monday morning, to break down at least one game from the weekend, if not more, if we get Game 7 tonight, depending if the Wolves can extend that series. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, at No Dunks Inc. Send in your questions. Going to need them. Hitting the beach next week. Send them into nodunks@theathletic.com and get yourself an athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. Also, No Dunks merch at nodunks.com. T-shirts, hoodies, mugs, shorts, a lot of good stuff. All right. Fun show.
Very fun.
Woo! Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, 'twas a boozy night in Paris. And the Adam's apple was prominent. But the neck was wider than the head.
Oh, yeah.
But she could dance while I was in.
Embrace the weekend, people.